Please be seated. Good morning. I am Christine Marie. This is Dan Martin, and this is Rob Bressy. And then our cheerleader in the back is Tamara Bressy. Yay! We're going to get to give you the sermon this morning. So, some of you may recall that 2 weeks ago, me and these strange characters met you at the door of the church with a colored card and a pencil asking, "What does the Trinity mean to you?" I recognize some of you. I could tell by the looks on your faces that this was a question you had rarely, if ever, been asked. What does the Trinity mean to you? I myself cannot recall ever being asked this question, even in seminary. Do you? Interesting, huh? I was baptized when I was 1 week old in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In those days, we said Holy Ghost. Remember that? I was baptized with those words, and I never missed a Sunday Mass for my entire childhood and much of my adulthood. I figure I've said those words in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit thousands and thousands of times. It's so deep in my body that I can't say the words without my hands leaping to my forehead to start the sign of the cross, unless I'm holding a microphone. But otherwise, it's the name of the Father. Does your hand do that? Name of the Father, name of the Son. It's in my body. Isn't it something that your life can be so permeated with something that you don't know how to stand back and look at it on purpose? This simple bodily experience is part of the air we breathe as Christians. The Trinity is everywhere, and yet, what a difficult question to answer. This fall, in October, last 2 weeks of October, and then in November, there will be a faith formation series on the Trinity, where we plan to wrestle with this very question. We thought, wouldn't it be fun to start by getting some idea of how you, the people at St. Mary's, think and feel about this question? So that's why we passed out the cards. And this is what we learned. 2 weekends ago, 231 people attended 5 services. Nearly half of you returned a card with an answer on it. Half, including one child who scribbled very intensely on both sides of the card. Future theologian, right? Lot to say about the Trinity. Nearly half of you, so more than half if you consider the children, half of the people who returned the cards had something to say about the Trinity, and I find that very impressive. About half of those who responded, or over a quarter of everyone at services, said that what the Trinity meant to them centered on the phrase I've just mentioned, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Most people had more to say than that, some a lot more. But that was the central message. It started out with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then da-da-da-da-da. As we studied your lovely responses, we found ourselves, the four of us, going deeper and deeper into the mystery and complexity and humor, the possibility of our faith. And the mystery and complexity and humor of your beautiful minds and hearts. I'll give you just a few examples so you can get a flavor, a little taste of what we got. One person described a Celtic tradition of stirring the fire three times at night to put it to bed, saying, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Isn't that lovely? One person said, "The Trinity is the unending circle of love, the lover, the beloved, and love itself." I can almost hear angels singing. Another person wrote, "I pray to the Father, I give thanks to the Son. The Holy Spirit is the air and the water and everything." There was no period, just this lovely long dash. And you had the feeling that they took off into some great place without words. Still another wrote that they'd been told by a religion professor that a banana can be split lengthwise into thirds, three parts of the whole, like the Trinity. Right there at our planning meeting, we had to go get a banana and try it. And they were right. Now, every time I eat a banana, I'm contemplating the Trinity. Father, nom, nom, nom. Son, nom, nom, nom. Isn't it great to be human? Here's another answer that's going to keep me up nights. I don't know if this came from 8 o'clock, but here it is. Light is both a wave and a particle. Now, see, I'd never put that with the Trinity before. That's good. That's the only thing on the page. Another person wrote, "Three in one oil." And this is my personal favorite. "There is only one God. I think I'm a Unitarian." Some of these may strike us as funny at first, but the more you think about it, the more it plays with your mind and sums up the thoughts of a fair number of you. That everything about God, including the Trinity, is a great mystery that defies thought, requires faith, and invites play.
Thank you. Good morning. In Paul's epistle today, he describes how he was raised well, studied the right things, obeyed the rules, and became zealous in protecting the rules. Really, not much different than many of our life stories. Then something happened. He was transformed by an encounter with the divine. He realized that all he had been was not the core of who he really was. His core was rooted in union with God through Jesus, and this led to a new life for him. And that's our invitation today. As with Paul, it's important to see that much of our life is lived by the norms of our culture, our tribe, our habitual ways of being that leave us disconnected from our source. And to recognize that our true nature as being one with all that is. The Trinity invites us to recognize our true nature. And as Christine is relating to you, we're so grateful for all of your responses to the question we posed to you. And as she said, there were so many comments that began with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Many of you said also that there was much about the Trinity that is mystery, and surely that is the case. Many theologians and mystics say that the relationship between the three is marked by constant flow between them of giving and receiving love. And indeed, a number of you wrote how the Trinity speaks to you about relationship. And a good image of that, if you remember, these old water wheels that went round and round with buckets that would bring water up and then empty them into the next bucket and then keep going round and round, constantly emptying their bucket and filling the next one and getting refilled themselves over and over again. And it's that receiving and giving of love that marks the Trinity. So the Trinity also invites us into that circle, into that a place on that wheel going round and round. And this is a place for us to become an integral part of ongoing creation, the continuous giving and receiving of love in the world. Catherine Lacugna, in her book, God for Us, says that entering into the life of God means entering in the deepest way possible into the life of Jesus Christ, into the life of the Spirit, into the life of others. And she goes on, entering into divine life, therefore, is impossible unless we also enter into a life of love and communion with others. And of course, this is lived out so differently for each of us. In the early days of the way, Paul's part was to bring the good news of God, Jesus, and the Spirit to the world beyond the people of Israel. Each of us has a part today, however large or small. How does God of the Trinity invite me and invite you into this divine dance? What role does each of us have to play? This is an open invitation to deep soul work. It's full of ups and downs, successes and failures. But like Paul, hopefully we can say that while we have not reached the goal, we press on to make it our own, straining forward to what lies ahead. May we accept the invitation.
So I'm batting third. My name's Rob. When all of the cards were laid out on our kitchen table, I was taken aback by how many different ideas and opinions there were of the Trinity. For every person in this room, there's a little bit different idea. And whether or not people said Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they added or subtracted to that. Some it was just that, and some it was things that were added on. One of my favorites was the three-in-one oil. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Another one was that people said, I don't know, I don't understand. And I think some people didn't fill out the card because they just didn't know what to say. And then there were the people that said, this is the greatest mystery of our faith. How do we grasp that? How do we grab that? And that's exciting for us as we've put this together and talked about what we want to do. It's exciting that we have so many opinions. It's encouraging that we aren't robots, that we aren't just saying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and moving on. And it's exactly what we're looking for as we approach this 4-week adventure that we're trying to put together. Some want concrete examples, like 3-in-1 oil. Here's what I learned about 3-in-1 oil. The guy invented it in 1894. And it's 3-in-1 oil because it's a lubricant, it's a rust prevention oil, and it's a cleaner. And when I read that, I thought, so which of the Trinity is which? The second idea was the triangle, the strongest geometric form. I taught geometry as a middle school teacher, and I used to love giving kids projects with toothpicks to build a bridge. And they had to learn that a square didn't work, but a triangle did. And the third is kind of a new thing. Can you hold this for me while I use this? Well, oh, thank you very much. I don't know if you've seen these, but this is called a fidget spinner. Okay? And you spin it, and it balances on your finger. When you spin it and you grab it, you can feel the energy of the spinning. And as I was talking with my 13-year-old grandson, I said, that's kind of a picture of the Trinity. And my 13-year-old grandson, who now looks me in the eye, said, yeah, Pop, that's good. Now, what you also need to know is that these have been outlawed in most schools in the country because they're a distraction to the children as they're trying to learn. Some just don't want to or need to look at it. I mean, isn't life tough enough than adding this whole idea of Trinity and three in one and who's this one and who's that one? And like we've laughed about the idea of, you know, two guys and a bird. You know, who is it? How is it? How does it work? And some people just are saying, I don't want to deal with that. And then there are others that want to discuss this. They want to grapple with it. They want to debate it. I don't believe this part. Why do you believe that part? And that is what we want to do as we put this all together. We want people to come and look at this from the depth of their heart and say, why do you believe that way? What is it about that? This is what I believe. This is how I've been raised. This is what I think. Even the four of us have many different views on this whole thing. In Isaiah 5, 1 through 7, there's today's reading. There's a story of a man who builds a vineyard, and he plants his grapes, and then rather than his grapes growing, wild grapes grew. And the frustration he had, and he ends up destroying the vineyard and just letting the grapes go. Well, we've decided not to build the vineyard. We've decided to just let the wild grapes grow. And so we invite you to come with an open heart, with strong opinions, with your unbelief or doubt. I think a great quote I read from Richard Rohr, he said, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is, what's the word? I just lost it. Certainty. The opposite of faith is certainty. So come with your doubts, come with your questions, and come with your life experiences, and come with a willingness to be touched and moved as we approach this idea of the Trinity. Amen?